Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we try to help you cope and deal through the week with information from the right and through the lens of original thought. It's good to have everybody with us. It's finally a hot summer day. Finally. Everyone who's worried about global warming haven't had a hot summer day in, I don't know, 6 months. Well, I mean, through fall and winter and spring, you might not expect a hot summer day. But it seems a little late in the season for a hot summer day. It seems like it should have been hotter sooner, but now it's hot, finally. And so, speaking of hot, let's go to the European elections. We'll start with some politics news because that's what people seem to be interested in, is the politics. And so they had elections all over the EU. And according to, who is this? Breitbart says, Donald Trump and American Republicans feel buoyed by right-wing victories across Europe. Elections that shocked France, possibly foreshadowing the U.S. electoral landscape leading up into the most important lifetime of our election, something like that. It's 2024, the most important election in the history of America. And so the froth-at-the-mouth communist, child-molesting Satanists who've been running Europe freely for the last 20 years, We're finally routed in elections to some degree, some small degree, by atheistic populists, primarily. So, which does sort of mirror the, foreshadow the impending most important election of our lifetime, 2024. And so Trump and the MAGA crowd are buoyed. And the, my advice is prepare for something truly awful to be done. Truly awful. If you think COVID was awful, well, prepare for something truly awful to be done. Because what was done in 2020, now this is just my opinion, and you know I'm a pessimist. I'm a cynical pessimist. What was done in 2020 proved to me that the Obama left, the psychopathic, child-molesting, satanic left, will never again give up power legally or peacefully. They'll never do that again. And I hope I'm wrong. So I said, get ready for something truly awful to be done. How do you prepare? How do you get ready if the satanic death cult decides to do something truly awful to prevent the MAGA crowd from sweeping a relatively annoying, vulgar celebrity into the White House to save America? What? How do you get ready? Well, get into Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel, read your Bible. That's the only way you can prepare. Because after all, it's the cabal that runs the world. You can't really fight against the cabal that runs the world. If they decide to destroy the world because they don't want Donald Trump in office, we're just all going to get destroyed. And you have to be ready for that. And so, if you're not familiar with the gospel, please send me an email, give me a call. I'd be happy to share it with you. So that's the only advice I give. Now, meanwhile, there are rumors that the President of the United States is reportedly preparing to legalize a whole bunch of illegal immigrants. What? Uh-huh. I know, it's a shocker. It never saw this one coming. Thousands of undocumented immigrants, this is CBS News, living in the United States, would get work permits, deportation protections. But there are some conditions. The illegal aliens have to be married to U.S. citizens. They have to have resided in the U.S. for at least 10 years.
Hey, I paid all the money to do that.
Right, I know. Well, that's okay. That's those exceptions simply create a fig leaf under which they hope to sneak a few hundred thousand illegal aliens by election day into swing city states, wherever all that's happening. So that could be the truly awful thing, although that wouldn't be that awful. That's not the worst. It's not as bad as starting World War III. Let's see, the other thing, wars and rumors of wars. There are concerns among foreign espionage experts that China may be probing American military readiness through the recent spate of base breaches, if you've read about them. You've got Syrians over here trying to get on a base. You got guys from Kazakhstan and Pakistan and Krapistan and Stan. So you didn't even know they were a Stan. They're trying to get onto military bases. And so it could be ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the terrorist Muslims, or it could be the Chinese. And so which scenario concerns us the most here? Is it Biden legalizing the illegals? Is it the Chinese breaching military bases? Is it whatever awful is going to happen? Who knows? Just be prepared. And I've already told you how to do that. So now let's move into the the news of the week, the events of the week. And of course, June is the week that's been hijacked by the perverts so that they can march around in the sunshine on hot summer days and be proud of themselves in front of God and everybody with no shame. And so because of that, there's widespread propaganda throughout the media. What was it we saw the other day that had the splash of the rainbow? Oh, at the bank. The bank, for crying out loud. You're at the bank just trying to do some banking, and they got to splash the gay pride up on the screen. I mean, who needs that? I mean, I'm standing in line with a bunch of other people. I don't want to feel like I'm going to be sick, for crying out loud. That's not fair. Well, listen to this from NBC News. So right there, you're like, okay, NBC News, grain of salt. Listen to this. A decorated veteran, Colonel Edward Thomas Ryan. Now listen to this. Colonel Edward Thomas Ryan, who is said to have lived most of his life in Rensselaer, New York, was a brother, an uncle, a retired firefighter, an Army veteran, and he was also gay. We know that because Colonel Ryan wrote that in his own obituary. He came out as gay in his obituary. Why? He was terrified in life. Scared of persecution, prosecution, subjugation. Unquote. Well, actually, I made a lot of that up there at the end. But the obituary ended with a message, allegedly by Colonel Ryan himself. I must tell you one more thing. I was gay all my life. That's right. I was gay. Through grade school, through high school, through college, through life. And of course, NBC goes on to comment on how many people had written messages of support for the late veteran in the fake obituary comments of the fake obituary of the fake veteran. Is it fake? I don't know. Maybe he's not fake. I have a feeling it's fake. I mean, I don't want to be like Alex Jones. You claim something's fake, that guy claimed everything was fake for like 20 years. But this strikes me as fake. Why here? Okay, here's the thing. Colonel Edward Thomas Ryan, who is said to have lived most of his life in XYZ City. That's not how reporters do things. No, you check out where the guy lived, and you find out if this is real. But they didn't, and then they published it this way to leave themselves some wiggle room. Okay, so there's your first red flag, pink flag, rainbow flag that this is a fake story. Also, the alleged gay colonel saying, I was gay through grade school, through high school, through college, through life. Okay, it's just a bit much.
I thought you made that up.
Yeah, I know. I thought I made that up too. You can't make this up. Anyway, so this is the latest fake sodomite propaganda from the Sin of Pride file. as the perverts continue to desecrate the month of June. Which we won't we won't allow them to do it without standing up and offering some resistance. Some intellectual and spiritual resistance will be offered against those trying to pervert and corrupt the month of June. All right. Now, from there, we go, appropriately enough, to the science. Really? File. Where we have a story on UFOs. That's right. Two Harvard scientists walk into a bar. I'm just kidding. Two Harvard scientists suspect the true solution to the UFO mystery could be crypto-terrestrials. Did you get that?
Crypto-terrestrials.
That's right. What does that mean? Well, they say it's an advanced species of aliens hiding here on the Earth. That's right. They actually live here, but they fly their spaceships around just to mess with us. Check stuff out. Okay. We have Dr. Do I want to name these guys? Using his evolutionary biology experience as an anthropologist, Dr. Masters, co-author, says aliens from UFO abduction lore resemble what time-traveling future humans might evolve to look like in a more high-tech society. And he's at Harvard. And he's published. Okay. And he had a co-author in the study, a psychologist, surprisingly enough. You got an evolutionary biologist joined by a psychologist. Say, all we need now is a partridge in a pear tree or a basket of fruit and nuts. Okay. His co-author is psychologist Tim Lomas. He's also with Harvard over at the School of Public Health, whatever that means. They were joined by an associate director for research at Harvard's Institute for Quantitative Social Science, which is meaningless pile of words. And he's only an associate there, but he joined them. His name is Brendan. And together they joined a call for scientists to pursue the crypto-terrestrial UFO hypothesis. That's right. They want other scientists to take their proposal seriously and begin pursuing the crypto-terrestrial UFO hypothesis, along with providing them with plenty of marijuana and video games. The three authors over at... Now, listen, tell me what this sounds like. This is from the paper. While this notion may sound unlikely on first hearing... Yeah, you think? Sorry. Many observers are persuaded that it is at least conceivable, the team wrote in their new study. Why? Because swaths of our planet remain virtually unexplored and uncharted. 80% of the oceans are unmapped. There are unexplored caves. There's the dark side of the moon. They argue there's plenty of space for a stealth alien civilization. That's right. That sounds like it's right out of the script of the Ancient Aliens TV show. Isn't it? Right? This may sound unlikely on first hearing, but many observers are persuaded that it is at least conceivable, which in the past, if it was at least conceivable, it might make a kind of goofy late night TV show. That in the past, that's about as far as it is at least conceivable could make it. But now it's published by professors at Harvard. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us through all that silliness. Listen, these guys at Harvard, these UFO researchers, professors, what do we have here? An evolutionary biologist, a psychologist, and an associate director of something or other. They say that we now know that the mantle transition zone 200 to 400 miles below the surface of the planet acts as a large reservoir of water, so it's entirely possible that hundreds of miles below the Earth, another hominid species or even a branch of Homo sapiens could have adapted to live underground. Although it would scarcely resemble our civilization because, you know, the water's all in rocks. So there is something under the Earth, way down deep, that the researchers at Harvard need to be aware of, but they're not aware of it. It's called hell. They need to be aware of hell and the fact that they're on their way to it with jet rockets. Writing garbage like this and smoking dope and playing video games and misleading a generation of children into chasing after aliens instead of seeking after God. So it's shameful, and it's the people who founded Harvard would be spitting in their graves. They are spitting in their graves. Speaking of all of that, we go to the mass arrest file, where the Board of Child Molesters of San Francisco has declared the city a transgender sanctuary city, officially a sanctuary city for transgender, gender nonconforming, non-binary, and two-spirited people, especially children. At which point they should all be arrested. Anybody who talks about sex and children in an announcement, in a press release, in a governmental policy, they should be arrested. Because it's obvious they're child molesters. And so the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco are obviously criminals. But nobody says anything about it. And the longer that goes on, the worse the criminality becomes. And so thinking that we can't say anything about it and thinking that we can't do anything about it, that's the mistake. The police, there's got to be at least one straight, normal Christian cop in San Francisco. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. He should kick down the door and arrest these perverts. Maybe you lose your job, you go to court, whatever. Cause a scene, for crying out loud. Somebody needs to cause a scene pretty soon. Because if someone doesn't cause a scene, then, well, just something awful is going to be done. That's all. Something awful. Something awful this way lurks. Meanwhile, we stay in San Francisco from the Thou Shalt Not Steal file. That's from the Bible, by the way. There was a grand opening this past week, a grand opening of a new store. The new store is called the District 10 Community Market. Named by the Politburo there in San Francisco, named by London Breed and her associates in the Politburo there in San Francisco. We know it was named by the Politburo because it is a taxpayer-funded free grocery store. That's right. According to the mayor's office, not the mayor herself. Taxpayer-funded free grocery store. Yeah, I know. Oh, you caught that. All right. That's right. Now, the mayor's office released a statement because the mayor herself, she couldn't be bothered. The mayor's office said the store provides free and healthy multicultural groceries to residents experiencing food insecurity. Okay. I know, I could, don't get me started, food insecurity. All right. The press release, let's see. Now listen to this. This is how the communists do it, okay? They have a press release that says free groceries, right? And so all the derelicts and the stupid people and the morons who've been voting for these people for three generations, they all just think London Breed is such a wonderful person. She wants to give free groceries to the poor. Well, just free groceries in general. That's the headline that the communists want in the newspapers, and that's what they got. But here's the deal. The District 10 Community Market, it's open to residents of three San Francisco zip codes, so you'll have to provide documentation that you live within one of those three zip codes. You will have to already be receiving public assistance, and so you'll need to bring the documentation that you're already receiving public assistance. And you will have to be referred by a community organization, meaning you will have to get a referral to the program from one of the groups funded by the taxpayer dollars that we approve of here in the County Board of District Supervisors and Child Molesters in the Office of London Breed. So once you provide all that documentation, then there's just one more thing. You have to prove that you have at least one dependent in the home under the age of 25. Or, in lieu of that, you have to provide documentation that you have a qualified diet-related illness. And then if you're able to meet all of these, then you may be able to go into the free grocery store. Anyway, so I wanted to ask, what is a diet-related illness? Is hunger considered a diet-related illness? Because if you get hungry enough, it becomes a health issue, from what I've heard. So what they're saying there at the from the Office of Mayor London Breed and the county supervisors and the Board of Child Molesters and Criminal Thieves and Liars in San Francisco, what they're saying is to the poor people, what they're saying to everyone, free something, because that's that gets them their votes, and because people are generally morons. But what they're really saying, if you actually try to walk into the free grocery store, is that it'll be up to the social workers to decide who gets into the grocery stores, because they're the ones who refer. And this is a racket that goes way back. It goes back almost a century in the big cities, the welfare racket. But it's gotten so bad now with the deviants and the perverts who've, now that the criminally insane sex cults have openly taken city and county governments, openly taken them. Now that that's happened, it's no longer just a pay-for-play type system. Now the social workers, I mean, they're like UN relief worker agency types. They walk in and they say, do you have any jewelry? Do you have any drugs or any children you want to pay us for, you know, exchange? Give us an exchange for a favorable ruling so that you might be able to go into the free grocery store. And there are welfare recipients and derelicts and drug addicts and losers who we've now taken advantage of by the criminals within the community organizations, which are a bunch of kidnapping, child molesting, drug dealing perverts dressed up as charities trying to give away food that they stole from you and I. And the stealing from you and I, that's not that big of a deal because we'll be okay. You and I, we'll just work more, make more money. However, we'll have to cut, maybe we have to cut something out of our budget, but we'll get by. But the people who are going to be molested and corrupted by the organizations and the welfare, they are sitting ducks. They're helpless. Helpless targets of vicious wolves. It's horrible, awful. The sheriff of San Francisco, I've seen him on the air, if he's still around, if they haven't killed him. There was a sheriff in San Francisco who used to say things, I mean, that weren't like over-the-edge maniacally leftist insane. And he should go arrest these people and then demand that, I mean, arrest them and surround them with armed guards and make a ruckus. And make a ruckus. I mean, we need to, there needs to be a confrontation instigated by people on the right against these maniacs, because they really only understand force. And they won't listen to reason. They won't listen to the gospel. They won't listen to anything until they're knocked back onto their heels. And, well, we can't call on fire from the Lord, unfortunately. That would be nice, huh? Should tell them to, yeah. Tell them, you guys stand way over there. I'm going to stand over here, and then that would be great. meanwhile, where do we go from San Francisco, for crying out loud? Let's go to Mesoamerica, where Not the Bee reports. Speaking of San Francisco and the people who've taken over San Francisco, well, let's look at where this type of behavior has led in the past. Researchers in Latin America have discovered a grave full of boys, baby boys, toddler boys, and young boys. A mass grave it was. And the boys were all sacrificed to pagan gods or to something. And here's how the discoverers want us to think about it. This is reported in Not the Bee by Harris Rigby. The folks who uncovered the remains say, quote, but we have to bear in mind that death is a completely different concept for Mesoamerican cultures. Death is not seen as a bad thing. According to their myths and beliefs, what they were doing was considered correct, so we cannot judge what they did. We cannot judge what they did because... Yeah. Anyway, the Harris Rigby over at Not the Beast says, sometimes I think that moral relativism is going to run its course. Then I see things like this, and I think there's no bottom to it. And there is a bottom to it, but the bottom ends up with mass graves. And so that's what we'd like to avoid, if at all possible, here in the United States and Western Europe, frankly. It'd be nice if we could pull back from the cliff before we go over into mass grave territory. But for that to happen, there's going to have to be a conflict orchestrated and executed and purposely driven to force the issue. And I don't believe I've seen where that comes from, who that comes from. So I think I'm just too old and tired to do it myself. So I tried a couple times when I was younger, but nobody was listening, which is probably the truth now, or even more so, perhaps. So from Mesoamerica and the don't judge the cannibals and the human sacrifices perspective, let's go to Holland. Yeah, Holland, where, well, here we go. This is from archive.is, which I think is an Israeli website. This is from the Like a Suicide file. Lisa is waiting to hear if she will be allowed to die. So that's how stupid people are in Holland, is that they think they, how stupid and socialist they are. They think they have to ask permission to die. Lisa, you're going to die, trust me. But no, she wants to die now. Now, Lisa is married. This is about this story about euthanasia. Lisa is married and has two young children. But she wants to end her life. And according to the euthanasia protocols, there's one more medication she is required to try by the doctors to treat her chronic depression. And then her request for euthanasia will be approved. They have to churn her through the psychopharmaceutical marketplace before they approve her euthanasia. See, now Lisa says, this is a Dutch girl who wants to kill herself. She says the hardest part will be leaving her children, but she feels she has no choice. She plans to tell her children that she's going to kill herself with the help of a grief counselor. But she's only going to do that after she's set a date for her death. So she's going to tell her children, I'm sorry, you don't make me happy enough. I'm going to kill myself. Can you imagine what this is going to... I mean, how does that go over with the kids? Does she have any clue about... Does she... How? I mean, how selfish can you be? I mean, we're all selfish to a certain degree. But wow. Let's see. Lisa goes on to say, it's not that I want to die. It's that I don't want to live this life anymore. So not only is she selfish, she's also lazy. It's not, she doesn't have the motivation to actually want to die. She just doesn't have the energy to live anymore. She says, I've tried everything there is, which is a lie. She hasn't tried everything there is. What she's done is she's tried to avoid everything there is that could bring her out of her depression. Or just get over the fact that maybe you're not supposed to be happy all the time. So, you know, it's normal when you run out of drugs to be depressed. So you just have to kind of gut through it. So, anyway, the reporters go on to say that Lisa is one of a small but growing number of people in the Netherlands choosing to end their lives on the basis of mental rather than physical illness. So now just feeling bad. Not feeling bad like in your arms and legs and back in torturous pain, but now just feeling bad, just feeling lousy. Her husband says, listen to what her husband says. As a human, I can understand because she's suffering. It's so difficult for me, though, because I take care of the boys now, and once she's gone, I will have to raise the boys on my own. Unquote. That's the husband. No wonder she wants to kill herself, for crying out loud. It's pathetic panty waste for a husband. He's worried about the stress on his life of having to raise two children on his own. Not the fact that he's driven his wife to the point where she wants to kill herself. He might want to stop and consider that. But now we have a concerned Dutch psychiatrist. He says, I think everyone in psychology accepts... I'm sorry, did I say psychology? I don't want to offend anyone. I meant psychiatry. I think everyone in psychiatry accepts euthanasia based on inhumane suffering. But it is still a last option, says Damien, a professor of psychiatry at the University of Amsterdam. How scary is that? He says, there is a worry that it's getting too fast, too loose. Uh-huh. But others in Holland argue that the law doesn't go far enough. There's one Dutch campaign group called Coöperatie Leefstijl, founded in 2013. They're pushing for widespread availability of suicide kits, maybe even in vending machines. That's right. Thank you. We're back. And so we come out of the Low Countries there. No, we're not going to get out of the Low Countries, I don't think, because this next story is from Hungary. Does that count as the Low Countries? I don't think so. That's Hungary, Central Europe. Anyway, there's a story about the European Parliament. From the Death by Democracy file, we check in Hungary, where an Antifa activist who is currently on trial for attempted murder, accused of attacking people with a hammer in Budapest. That Antifa activist has been elected to the European Parliament. That's right, and the crowd went wild. That's right, her election paves the way for her. Okay, attacking people with a hammer, attempted murder, and it's a girl. Okay. The election paves the way for her to be freed from custody in Hungary and take her seat in the European Parliament. The Antifa maniac, terrorist, murderer is a 39-year-old school teacher and a self-described anti-fascist, despite the fact that she acts an awful lot like a fascist fascist. Currently, she is under house arrest in Hungary, as we said, awaiting trial for attempted murder. But she's won her seat in the parliament. And we have a comment. Now, was she, he, she, yeah, it doesn't matter. We have a comment from a sitting official. An Italian Deputy Prime Minister, Matteo Salvini. So what is a Deputy Prime Minister? Is that like an assistant manager at 7-Eleven? I don't know. I assume that he's actually something because they say he is. And here's what he has to say about the election of an Antifa terrorist on trial, awaiting trial, I'm sorry, for attempted murder, attacking people with hammers. Silvini says when citizens, let's see, Italian, huh? Okay. When the citizens vote, they are always right. Always right. That's right. This is a democracy, and the democracy is always right. Unquote. That's Silvini, the deputy prime minister, and this is death by democracy. So this is what happens after a couple of hundred years of propaganda teaching people that democracy is sacred. People start to believe that democratic elections can't make enormous catastrophic errors. And one would have to remind him of, well, the countless catastrophic errors that have been made at the ballot box via democracy. But you can't say that anymore. You're a heretic. In fact, if you want to get yourself arrested, just say that democracy is bad. Democracy is evil, it's wicked, it's stupid, it's dangerous, it's childish, it's selfish, it's ungodly. How about that? That might get your door kicked in. Now, say that you want to talk about transgenderism with especially children, nobody says a word. All right, so from there, from the death by democracy, we go now to the death after Roe file, where Just the News is reporting that the Supreme Court has rejected a challenge to the abortion pill, meaning the drug will remain widely available. So there's an abortion pill that you can get pretty much anywhere now. And there was a phony baloney case that it was going to have the Supreme Court issue a phony baloney decision or opinion or whatever they issue up there, and then act as if they were going to restrict it. But they're never going to restrict the abortion pill. Why? Because people want abortions. The people who write the law want abortions. The people who enforce the law want abortions. The people who break the law want abortions. Everybody wants abortions, and so they're going to get their abortions. And so the Supreme Court, for whatever reason, didn't even want to take part in the kabuki theater pretending that they're going to restrict abortions. And they wrote a 9-0 decision that did not address the legal arguments because they're allowed to do that. I mean, after all, it's only the murder of hundreds of thousands, millions of people. No need to speak to the legal situation there. I mean, unless you feel pressed to do so in an actual case. If you can get around it and not say anything and just walk away, that's what they preferred to do up there at the Supreme Court. Women. Oh, this is according to, NBC News reports that women can still obtain the pill within blah, 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 whatever, pretty much whenever they want. What NBC doesn't report is that rapists and molesters can still obtain the pill within 10 weeks of real gestation and sex or whatever, pretty much whenever they want. After they rape or molest someone and an unintended pregnancy occurs, they can obtain the pill. Along with everyone at NBC News who also wants to have abortions. So, very sad state of reality. And here's another one. This is really, I don't know why I'm going to do this story. I feel compelled to do the story. I don't know why. So I'm just going to do it. And then you decide for yourself if I should have avoided the topic. We've already done one story about suicide. Here's another. This is so sad. Ty Anderson, he is the ex-bassist of the Grammy Award-winning Christian rock group Third Day. He just announced the death of his son, Eli, and that of a drug overdose, and that comes 5 years after he lost his daughter to suicide. So his daughter killed herself 5 years ago. His son just died of a drug overdose, and he's the bass player for Christian rock group. A GoFundMe has been set up, of course, because that's what we do. To help cover the extensive medical bills of a drug overdose? Are there, memorial costs and grief support. What? You need money for grief support when your son dies of a drug overdose? I don't know. This bass player lost his daughter, Mackenzie, to suicide. That's a nice way to say. She killed herself in 2018. Senior in high school, 18-year-old girl, kills herself. Anyway, the bass player wrote online that they lost their son, Eli, to the insidious disease of addiction. That's a very self-serving way to say our son died of a drug overdose. He says they need a lot of spiritual and psychological support, which the mention of psychological support indicates that the bass player and his family don't really comprehend spiritual support. Because if you have spiritual support, you don't need psychological support.
You certainly don't me the money.
And you don't need a GoFundMe. And you wouldn't even post an announcement about it. You'd just disappear into weeping and shame. And pain and suffering. Anyway, listen to, so I wanted to know, what's the story? Why does this guy's 18-year-old daughter kill herself? Well, listen to her final social media post. Mackenzie Anderson, October 30th, 2018. It's time to change. She says, as Christians, we often portray the wrong ideas to non-believers. Some of us see Christianity as a list of rules. Some of us even preach hate instead of love. Yes, the Old Testament is a whole list of rules, but the New Testament changed that. Jesus came and took our sins. He realized that we are human, that we are going to break the rules, and that it's okay. Jesus made sure that no matter what we have done or what we will do, he will love us. And she then quotes a Bible verse, Ephesians 3:12, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And then she comments on the Bible verse. She says, Paul contradicts the idea that we are forced to follow strict rules. We are free. We no longer have to worry about being separated from God because Jesus came and bridged the gap. So as believers, I challenge us to stick up for love. Draw people to Jesus by loving people despite differing political views, different races, or even different beliefs. And let me stop right there, because by that, she meant sodomites, faggots, homosexuals. Because if you read the rest of her social media history, it's obvious that she was a leftist. And that she had a soft spot in her heart, particularly for sexual deviance. She goes on in her final social media post, it's time to change. We have to stop being separated, to stop thinking about other people's sins in a negative way. And then 2 weeks later, or I'm sorry, 2 months later, she kills herself. You can't find out how or why, because I don't know, it's been blotted out, or I don't know how to find out how she killed herself. But she killed herself 2 months after posting this. And so she's a poster child for the harmful effects of modern evangelical phony baloney Christianity, where the mean God of the Old Testament was replaced by the nice Jesus of the New Testament, and that basically gives us a license to serve ourselves and make ourselves feel good and all of that. And unfortunately, the poster child of modern evangelical Christianity doesn't appear on a poster, unfortunately, because she committed suicide. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Just wanted to finish with that, because Mackenzie Anderson, before she killed herself, she posted that final social media post. That was posted by her father in January of 2019, a month or so after his daughter killed herself. And here's what he posted. Friends, neighbors, and supporters, thank you for honoring Mackenzie by donating to her memorial mission fund. We go this morning to sign the legal documentation that will establish that trust. We will then be able to receive future donations tax-free. Wow. He posted this within a month of her killing herself. And then that was reason number 666 to stay away from modern evangelicalism. And from there, we go to reason number 2166, to keep or get your children out of the government schools. We have the note from Roswell High School, the note to parents regarding the suicide of Mackenzie. The suicide of Mackenzie Anderson in December of 2018. Roswell High School, by the way, the principal, He has an ED dot capital D, which I think that's an educational doctorate. He's a doctor of education. And then we have the associate principal. He's an ED dot S, which is a Satanist of education. No, S, a specialist. So I'm not sure what that would be. And then we have Celeste, who's the assistant associate principal. She has a master's in education. She's a master of education. And then we have the athletic director has, he's also an ED.S. And we're not sure what that means because it's all gobbledygook. But anyway, the bottom of the letterhead indicates that Roswell High School in Roswell, Georgia is a national school of excellence. And here's reason number 2166 to get or keep your children out of there. Flee as far and fast as you can. Today, parents, we are saddened to learn of the death of one of our students, Mackenzie Anderson, a senior and a cheerleader. We will have counselors, social workers, and school psychologists available. Our mental health partners will also be on hand. We encourage you to talk to your child as well. And we recommend that you listen to your child. So I don't know if you noticed that, but when they say we encourage you to talk to your child as well, it's as if the school puts itself in the first place with your child. Why would they imply that in a letter? It's because they do that. They put themselves in the first place with your child, and then they suggest. They have suggestions for you. The letter goes on to say, if you wish to have one of our care team staff members individually molest your child, please come to the school tomorrow and we can set up a schedule. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say molest? I meant counsel. I apologize. So talk individually is how they put it. A care team staff member. That's a bunch of psycho babbling child molesters. Thank you for supporting our Hornets. That's their sports team. Thank you for supporting our Hornets during this difficult time. Keep the family of Mackenzie in your thoughts. Along with the Roswell High. Sincerely, Dr. Robert there, the principal. He's a doctor, you know. He's a doctor of education. I don't know what to say. I don't even know what to say about this. This is what passes for. And I'm sure that every school in America, at least the National Schools of Excellence, they have a template already ready for the suicides that they send home. And it's all been tested and psychologically approved by the politically correct powers that be that regulate. It's all been approved by some non-governmental charitable organization and a care team staff member. They've all approved it all. A bunch of psycho babblers. Basically using the suicide of Mackenzie Anderson to get your kids hooked on pharmaceuticals for their depression and their trauma. That's what this is all about. Why do you think they want to counsel with your kids? How come they don't suggest go to church on Sunday, drop down and fall on your face and beg God to save America and save your family and help you? That's nowhere in here. Not any mention that a God even exists. That wouldn't pass muster. So, reason number 2166, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And if you think I'm a bit harsh or terse or short about the topic of another family's daughter's suicide, just remember they posted within a month of her killing herself, we will then be able to receive future donations tax-free. All right. Now, and they didn't mention God, and I did. So. So from there, we go to the Gloom Daily File, where I know everyone thinks I'm gloomy guy. I'm a pretty gloomy guy. I have a... One of my associates says that I can find the cloud around every... The cloud within every silver lining, something like that. So there's a new report out... published by the Earth Journalism Network. Who is the Earth Journalism Network? It's a network established by a bunch of communist, maniac, psychopathic, Satan-worshipping billionaires hell-bent on destroying the world. And you know their names. Michael Bloomberg, Christopher Hahn, the MacArthur Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Tides Foundation. He's the most famous one, and his name escapes me. The Hungarian Jew who turned in the Hungarian Jews to the Nazis back during World War II. George Soros. So you know all the psychopathic billionaires. They have endowed a group called the Earth Journalism Network. And now the Earth Journalism Network has published a report on funding for the Earth Journalism Network. Why? Because they're proud of it. So they publish a report giving credit to their largest donors, the European Climate Foundation, that's Bloomberg, Extinction Rebellion, that's Hahn, Tides, Gulbenkian, Oak, Packard, Climate Justice, Resilience, MacArthur, Rockefeller, the United Nations, and the British Foreign Office. So the Earth Journalism Network proudly reports who funds their daily feed of climate hysteria that makes it into the news feed of every teenager who, by the time they're 14, they think they're destroying the planet and they're considering suicide. And these people are proud that they're doing it. They issue a report. Here's who's giving us the most money. These are organizations designed to create news stories around climate hysteria and feed them to actual news networks. Actual news organizations pick up stories from these people that are orchestrated to propel climate hysteria. They have no shame. They're proud of it. And these are the ones scaring the hell out of the children. The poor public school children, deprived of the knowledge of God, put on drugs when they're 13 years old. By the time they're 16, they think they're responsible for the end of civilization, the collapse of the world, the climate crisis. They think they're responsible. And they know their parents are responsible, and especially their grandparents, and they hate them all for it. That's what these people are doing over at Earth Journalism Network. And their doors need to be kicked in, and they need to be arrested. Yeah, you can't publish communist propaganda in a free country that fears God. I'm sorry, it's against the law. No. Okay, so from there, let's move on to the World War III file, where we have a report. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, who unironically call themselves NOAA, a quarter of all air pollution comes from cooking food. That's right. And until now, they haven't regulated that because it's been left out of the climate models. The pollution you put in the air because you are cooking your food. We have a quote here from someone there at NOAA. Did they give their name? I don't have their name. It's a spokesmouth for NOAA says, quote, "If you can smell it, there's a good chance it's impacting air quality." That's right. The food you cook contains VOCs, which are volatile organic compounds. And based on new findings, cooking emissions could be the single largest missing source of urban VOCs in current air quality models, which could have important ramifications for air quality management. That's what we do, air quality management. What's that called? What does that stand for, air quality management? Communists murdering 100 million people. That's what that is. So what this person at NOAA just told us is that they're going to create new models now incorporating the volatile organic compounds. You know what a volatile organic compound is? That sounds scary. It's volatile. Oh, Is that what's destroying the ozone? Is that going to kill the polar bears? It's volatile. A volatile organic compound is a compound that evaporates at room temperature. So that is organic, obviously. Anyway, I don't want to get into it, but the word volatile there does not imply violent, destructive action. But it's a chemistry thing. I don't want to get into a chemistry lesson. All right. Anyway, they're going to add the cooking of the bacon now into the models, and then they're going to feed that through the Tides Foundation and through the Earth Journalism Network onto NBC, through CBS, onto Fox News, and they're going to scare the hell out of the 12-year-olds by telling them the fact that mom cooked you breakfast is why the planet is dying. And that's why these communists should be arrested. WorldNet Daily reported this article with some alarm, which I appreciate. And they went on to mention the war against Amish farmer Amos Miller, which we have reported on. Amos Miller's lawyer, who came out of court recently, he sums it up succinctly. Amos Miller's lawyer said, quote, "Let me explain what this case is about." He said, the Pennsylvania Agriculture Administration claims all food is illegal, just like illegal drugs, unless that food was made by a government-approved facility, and they can destroy it at will. So the people in the government actually think they have the power to regulate the food. Now, why do they think that? That's because a bunch of lazy... That's because of democracy. A bunch of lazy morons gave them that power sometime around before I was born. I certainly wouldn't have done it. I just mentioned at the beginning of the show that with all the favorable electoral news from around the world, with communists and perverts and faggots and child molesters being voted out of office in certain places, that we should all anticipate something truly awful being done. And, I'm concerned about the food supply. I mean, I'm not concerned for myself because I know that even if I die, I'm going to be fine. But I worry about all you people because, you know, if the riots in the streets and all that stuff that you people do when you start freaking out. Well, I guess we have to just move on. Do I want to do that? No. Do I want to do... So let's close with this. We'll close with two quick stories. There are no civilians in Gaza and Alex Jones. That's right. So there are no civilians in Gaza. This is from Front Page Mag. The Palestinian myth is that the Muslim colonists occupying parts of Israel today are indigenous. The reality is they were Arab settlers who arrived after the Islamic conquest of Israel. Some, like the notorious Husayni clan, which produced Hitler's Mufti, were relatively recent arrivals. These powerful, wealthy families took control of urban areas. They tried in Jerusalem. They were unable, but they were part of the Ottoman feudal empire. And when the Ottomans were defeated, the Muslim clans created movements like the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas to maintain power. Defeating Hamas without civilian casualties is impossible. Why? Because Hamas is the people. And it is the people who control the government right down to the community level. It's very sad. There's no meaningful distinction, says Daniel Greenfield over at Front Page. There's no meaningful distinction between civilians and Hamas. Anyway, it's just very sad what has to happen there in order for Hamas to actually be eliminated. Israel would have to do something that there's no way the world is going to let them do, and there's no way they even have the wisdom or knowledge or understanding to know what needs to be done. And so this is just another wave of violence and bloodshed in the never-ending algorithm of waves of violence and bloodshed until Jesus Christ puts it to an end. He'll be the only one who can. Meanwhile, from the Conspiracy of Fate file, Alex Jones was forced to liquidate his assets. He was threatened with bankruptcy ruling that would have destroyed his empire of what would you call it? Alex Jones's empire of hysterical huffing and puffing. And anyway, let me just say this, because a lot of my friends and people who probably listen to the show, they think Alex Jones is has become something of a potential martyr. But I just want to say that a man who makes his living off pontificating on every human tragedy, everything, with half-baked crackpot theories, which he's done for 20 years, a guy like that deserves to lose his platform when he's exposed as a fool and a liar, which he was when he said all those kids didn't exist who got shot up by the maniac. I mean, do you people comprehend how horrible that is, what he did? Saying that they were all actors and it was fake when all these parents had bloody kids' body parts everywhere? So anyway, the guy deserves to lose everything for that, at least professionally. He shouldn't be on the air anymore just due to shame and wisdom amongst the populace. But forget about that. Anyway, and no one's taking away his freedom or his freedom to speak. No one's taking any of that away. He's just going to lose his platform and everything that he built with all of his hysterical freak out, half-baked. Anyway. Alex Jones was half right about a few of the hundreds of ridiculous claims and accusations that he's made over the past 20 years. He was half right about a few of them at the height of COVID, when anybody could have caught those, for crying out loud. So, yeah, he wasn't fooled by the perpetration of the COVID hysteria. I'm not impressed. He's still a fool. And he's a liar. And he's a grifter on human misery and suffering. And so we try not to do that here at the Weekly Worldview. And we try to mention the gospel at least once every show. And that's it. Lord willing, we'll be back with you next time. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio. Lord willing, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.